This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
All right, welcome back to the Paranormal Classroom. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Amanda.
And we're two moms and friends and teachers who just love to get together on Tuesday nights and talk spooky stuff. And we're so glad you've joined us.
Yeah, welcome scholars.
Yes.
Welcome boys and girls.
Scholars is so fancy.
I know, I was always when I first started teaching, I would always go back and forth, like, what do I want to call my class? Because I don't like boys and girls. I don't know that that's my favorite one.
No, and I don't use that either.
You could say students, but that's, I would say, I used scholars quite a bit. Yeah. So we could talk about what that word means.
I say whatever we're doing, like if it's primarily engineering, I call them engineers. Primarily artists. I say artists.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Well, here we are. It's Tuesday, January 24th. First for us. Let's check in. What's been haunting you this week?
I brought something.
You brought like a prop?
Yeah,
like
I brought a prop. I brought a show and tell for you.
It's a good thing this is a audio only presentation.
All right, so the telepathy tapes continue to haunt me.
I know.
This is our third week in a row where we
got some amazing texts from Amanda earlier today about it.
It's on my mind a lot, and I'm going to reveal something about myself today that I have tarot cards, and I'm not saying I believe in them, like, it, just like everything else. I'm very, very on the fence, open, but on the fence about things. But I was like, okay, well, I'm going to ask my tarot cards. I usually pull just one card when I want to reflect on something.
And that's, I think, what they're really for.
Yeah, I think that you can literally pull any card in the deck and ask any question, and it will give you something to reflect on that can be useful in your...
What blows me away is when people I've never met before and know nothing about me are able to pull stuff out of the... seemingly pull stuff out of the ether about my... travels through life, and it's like, what?
I know, it's so fun when that happens. Yeah.
I've only seen or talked to a tarot reader like in a formal setting one time. It was at a Rotary auction. And I was blown away.
That's random. I love it.
And I was sober.
I would love to be able to do that for people, but I'm not there yet. I need to practice a lot, I guess. Okay, so I sat down with the cards before you came over, and I told the cards, look, I'm like obsessed with this telepathy tapes situation. And I would love some guidance on like what I should think about as I'm listening to them and I'm learning and thinking and reflecting on it. Like, what is some guidance for me for heading into that each time I listen? This is what I pulled.
Okay.
First, I pulled the Four of Wands. So the Four of Wands, there's a picture on it of two girls, two friends, which is like you and me. Mm-hmm. And they've kind of traveled off the path a little bit. And they're wandering away from their stress and planning to have a little fun. And you've got good times on the horizon. Take a break from hard work and put all your energy into treating yourself and having fun. This is us on our podcast.
It's gonna make me cry.
Yeah. This is us on our podcast journey.
It sure is. I mean, I don't know how else to interpret it.
That's how I interpreted it.
And contextually, like, I can't even think about... There isn't another friend that I'm hanging out with. There's not another in this way. I mean, it's two female-presenting people, I think. It could be a man and a woman, but it looks like two friends minimally. And then there's a cityscape silhouette in the background, or outline in the background. kind of this arbor looking design of the four wands. So like four poles sort of held together with flower garlands at the top. They're really tall. The poles are twice as tall as the figures.
Mm-hmm. It's very positive. It's a very happy
kind. So happy. Yeah.
This is us walking off like the regular path to go do something that brings us excitement and joy and have fun together. It's so cool that I pulled this card. I've never pulled this card before, by the way.
And what's interesting too is I'm noticing details. So it looks like they're walking toward the unbeaten path, right? Mm-hmm. But they already have little bouquets of flowers in their hands. So did they just come from and they're looking back on it and reflecting on it?
I don't know.
Or are they bringing an offering to it? Are they bringing something from their world to it? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then
thanks, universe.
So I pull one card and then I always look at the card on the deck that I still have in my hand. I always look at like the bottom card for like extra reflection.
Okay.
This is what I pulled for this one, which I think is really weird. So remember, I'm asking about this telepathy tapes podcast.
What we're supposed to kind of do with it. How to make sense of it. Yeah. What's our charge with it now that we've learned about it? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, so I got a really interesting card because you could either take it literally or you could interpret it the way that it says in the book and both give you completely different perspectives.
Can I look at it before you tell me what it supposedly means and I'll give you my interpretation? Wow. Okay, so it's the Fool card.
It's the Fool.
That is interesting.
I think if you take it literally, this is what I think. If you took it literally, it could mean that we are being fools for believing in this podcast.
That's my possible initial interpretation. Yeah. And then looking at it further, it looks like one of these kids to me. Carefree, in their own world. She's got like a Walkman and headphones, looking toward the sky, hands, palms up. There's a little dancing dog with her, jumping dog.
She's on a hill.
She's on a hill. Shut up. She's on a hill.
Yeah.
I think that, and she's got blue hair.
I don't know. I mean, it gets you thinking. This is why I like pulling tarot cards. But here's what it says in the book, which is a totally different interpretation that I also think could work. So when you read it out of my book, the fearless fool, the grand adventure begins. The fearless fool with her devil may care attitude is ready to take the first steps toward the unknown. Pure passion and optimism fuel her as she dances to her music, to joy itself. She doesn't know what lies beyond the cliff's edge, but she's left behind her life in the city, kind of similar to the Four of Wands.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye to normalcy. Goodbye to routine. Goodbye to structured life she had within society. She fully trusts her instincts to carry her beyond the ordinary.
What the
hell? Don't be afraid to take that leap of faith. Now's the time for you to start your journey.
Holy cow.
So it's like, what if
it feels like a charge? Feels like a go for it.
Like, broaden your horizons and go on this adventure.
And tell people.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that happens to me. I always feel like I do pull cards that apply.
I need to get a little set like this. I always look for tarot cards and I don't own any for myself. My daughter has several decks. I don't own any because I've never found one that speaks to me.
Well, your first tarot deck is supposed to be a gift.
I've heard that.
So I should get you
one
for your first
one. I've heard that and I haven't. My daughter said, no, that's not true. You can get your own. But I've heard you say that. I've heard her say that. So I just haven't found one that I'm like, that feels like my deck, but I really like the little book that yours comes with. Like, that seems really manageable for a beginner and someone who just wants some kind of meditative time with them, I guess, reflective time. So, I love that. That is so fascinating.
Yeah.
I love that you did
so
that.
So, cheers. That's cool. I'm drinking butterbeer from Harry Potter.
And I'm drinking a DC.
Cheers to our adventure together. That's on our podcast.
Foolish or not. The world may think it's foolish, right, but it just might be not less.
And we are traveling down the path of what excites us and,
fuels my soul every Tuesday. I look forward to it. Now, I didn't know what day it was. Again, this is the second time this happened to me where we didn't have school or work on a Monday. And then Amanda's like, so, you ready to pod tonight? And I'm like, it's Tuesday. It just feels like it's a gift after a Monday. But, It is. Tuesday is a gift after Monday, traditionally. But this podcast. You know what I mean. So it's my turn to present today. And I lied to you earlier today, Amanda. I talked to Amanda and I said, I have a choice. Or whenever it was I talked to you about it. Was it today?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember. You said you had a choice.
I said I had a choice. I lied. Okay. I'm not going to give you a choice because I forgot that my choice, one of the choices, was one that I'm going to save for when I'm traveling this summer.
Cool.
Yeah. So I want to save that one.
That sounds good. Okay.
So this one is as, yeah, do you have any ideas? Because we always, you often guess.
Oh, the pressure.
Man, you're on a roll with tarot cards. Don't get this one wrong.
Well, I'm thinking of doing an alien one next time. Is it alien related?
It's not.
Okay.
Well, no. No. I don't, not explicitly, no.
I don't know. I'm ready for the surprise.
Well, I told you I was going to talk about it. So here we go. This is, you know what? I'm just going to read the introduction before I tell you what it specifically. You'll figure it out pretty darn quick because it's in the first sentence. The morning of August 7th, 1994, started like any other in the small town of Oakville, Washington.
Oh, are you telling me a meat shower?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yes!
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm clapping. I'm so happy.
Okay, so.
This is great. Double meat shower week.
Double meat showers. Don't you love a double meat shower? Okay. All right. Nestled in the Pacific Northwest, where we are. I mean, it's not right where we are, but we live in the Pacific Northwest. This is another town in the Pacific Northwest. Oakville was home to fewer than 700 residents, a tight-knit community surrounded by lush forests and open skies. Have you ever been to Oakville?
I've never heard of it. Can you tell me where it is so I can picture it?
Yeah, let me show you on a map. It's 50 miles from here, Grays Harbor County.
Ooh, lovely, lovely.
You know where Elma
I know where McCleary is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here, it's when I said the peninsula, it really isn't. It's farther south. It is southwest of us by 50 miles. It's between Olympia and Centralia, off a little bit
west. Oh, I'm surprised that I'd never heard of it because this is like our stomping grounds. My dad would take me around on little weekend trips out
it's
here.
It's just a little town. Okay. But on that day, so August 7th, 1994, something utterly strange occurred. Residents woke to find their homes, cars, and the ground covered in small, jelly-like blobs. What initially seemed like an odd weather event quickly turned into a nightmare as people and animals began falling ill.
So I'm noticing you didn't say meat specifically, though. Tissue meat, like we did on the last podcast.
No, no, it's different. It's different, but it's a similar kind of mysterious phenomenon.
Okay.
And yeah. So what initially seemed like an odd weather event quickly turned into a nightmare as people and animals began falling ill, which is why I asked, did anything die or whatever? So this is the story of the Oakville blobs, a mystery that remains unsolved to this day, similar to yours.
Oh, I'm like frustrated that I haven't heard of this story because it's close, it's cool, it's...
I know.
I've never heard of it.
About it a few times in different places, and it's fascinating.
This wasn't long ago either. Like we
were in high school.
We could possibly even like interview someone who had this happen to them.
Yeah, hey, if you know anybody, Oakville survivors of the Great Blob Disaster or whatever, Great Blob Mystery. So at approximately 3:00 a.m., here's the description of the event: a strange gelatinous, which is one of, it's like moist. It's one of the worst words to me.
Moist, gelatinous, is horrible.
Moist, crotch.
Lindsay!
These are all words that are really bothersome. Do you have any words like that? Give you the heebie-jeebies, just the sound of them?
Mm. I'd have to think about it. I don't know. Words, but
puke. I don't like the word puke.
There's okay. words I love. Like, I love the word mulch. That's such a cool word.
I thought you were going to say something really poetic, like chrysanthemum or like Dewey Decimals.
Mulch.
Mulch. Poetic. I said Dewey Decimals is really poetic. I don't know. It just came out of my face. What's a word that I really love? Oh, I say certain things all the time, like brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yes,
my mom says it. I got it from her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird because I don't see my mom very often, but that's one I've inherited or absorbed. All right, so the gelatinous substance began falling from the sky at 3 a.m. Witnesses described it as small, translucent blobs about the size of rice grains. So small.
That's really tiny. That's so tiny, I mean, you'd have to really get in there to see that it is gelatinous.
So this is how they knew. Unlike rain or hail, the blobs were sticky, slimy, and not easily washed away. So like on their cars, windshield wipers, they could
like sap almost.
Just like...
Yeah. That's disgusting. Sound effect.
Yeah. Ooh. The phenomenon persisted for several hours. Hours! And was reported across a 20-square-mile area. So much larger than the meat shower, but much tinier... stuff.
But also, sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
Okay?
Yes.
So last week, one of the theories that one of the first scientists had with the meat that was falling from the sky was that it was a substance called nostoc, which is also known as star jelly or witch's butter.
Maybe this was nostoc.
Maybe this was nostoc, but it doesn't. I mean, nostoc doesn't fall from the sky.
Nope.
Like for 3 hours.
Like grains of rice.
But it is jelly-like, mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's sticky. But I know that it would match what you're describing. But it's usually like bigger clumps, like snot clumps. It's not like a tiny.
This is like
rice
if it
grain.
Were nostoc, like how did it get up there? But did it come out of the clouds like rain or hail, like the same size?
Mm-hmm.
And why? And how did it get up there to begin with? I don't know. So the blobs coincided with a heavy downpour. So this did come with rain, unlike the meat shower. Meat shower is just meat. No clouds in the sky that day in Kentucky. But this did come with a heavy rain downpour, so it made the event even more peculiar. Residents initially dismissed it as some freak occurrence of nature until the health effects became apparent.
Oh, this is so freaky. Like, as a mom, this is like poison falling from the sky.
Yeah, yeah. People who came into contact with the blobs reported flu-like symptoms, including dizziness, nausea, and difficulty breathing. Even pets weren't spared. Several cats and dogs in the area reportedly fell ill, with some dying shortly after exposure.
Oh no, that's horrible.
I know.
This is really bad stuff.
Super sad.
Do we know if like those animals were out in it when it was happening and it landed on them, or did they ingest it?
I think they ingested it. From what I remember reading in other things, they did ingest it.
No.
Yeah.
Don't eat.
It wasn't just from landing on their skin.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
I want to know. I'm very curious to know how many people get sick, because I think on any given day you can have a weather event and a certain number of people are going to get sick, and they could be, and then you could be like, well, this happened because of this weather. So I would be curious to know if it's like a very unusually high number of people who got sick right after this.
The exact number of people affected remains unknown, as there was no official medical record documenting a widespread illness.
So it's possible just a few people got sick, which could be coincidence. I don't like not knowing what I'm sick with. That really bothers me. Like when during the COVID years, every time I got sick, I was like, I need to know what it is. And you're COVID testing. You're like, is it COVID? And then when it wasn't COVID, I would be freaking out. Like, well, what is it? I don't know. I would be really, really spooked if that happened to me.
The very day of the raining blobs, again, this is from Discovery UK. The very day of the raining blobs, people started getting sick, both Officer Lacey and Dottie Hearn among them. There were reports of people developing flu-like symptoms from contact or proximity to the blobs, even of animals dying. Officer Lacey described being violently sick and having difficulty breathing.
Oh,
Dottie
gosh.
Hearn collapsed, also finding it hard to breathe, and was hospitalized for 3 days with an ear infection. So what was that mushy gloop, and did it have any connection with the reported sickness? Sunny, the daughter again, she suspected a correlation between the raining blobs and her mother's illness. So she's the one who sent the sample to the hazardous material unit.
Good job,
Donnie. Ecology.
Good job, Donnie.
Let's get into some theories and explanations.
Okay.
Number one, biological warfare.
Yeah, that was my first thought, actually.
One of the most pervasive theories is that the blobs were the result of biological warfare testing. Oakville's proximity to military installations, including the McCord Air Force Base, lent credibility to the idea that the military might have been conducting experiments. Residents claimed to have seen military aircraft in the skies shortly before and after the blobs fell.
Let's break it down. We live by that same base.
Yes, we do.
We live right by there.
Yep.
I constantly hear explosions because they're testing and they're practicing. Giant planes, like carriers and helicopters and stuff, that fly right over our house. But I've never, ever, ever, like, worried about or heard a story about them testing on people around here.
Not necessarily around here, but it has happened. There have been proven, and I should have found it, but it didn't occur to me. There is a proven, they got busted. Like, the government was caught. They dumped a bunch of stuff on, like, a beach town, and people got super sick, and several people died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm gonna Google that in a second.
That's nightmarish.
So, this is a quote from Senny Barclift. There were several low-flying aircraft in the area before it happened. It made us wonder if this was some kind of military experiment, end quote. However, the U.S. government has denied any involvement.
But they deny stuff all the time. And
of course.
And for, I'm sure for good reasons a lot of the time, too. Like right. We don't need to know everything that they're testing and practicing for security reasons. But I would certainly want to know if they were dropping poison snot on people.
So there's one of the articles that just popped up. It's titled 245 Biological Experiments on U.S. Citizens in Cities and Bases.
Ew.
I don't know the source, but I just saw that title. Okay. Oh, this was it. Operation Sea Spray was a 1950 U.S. Navy secret biological warfare experiment in which
Here comes some Latin for you.
Okay. Serratia marcescens and Bacillus globigii, it's literally globigii, G-L-O-B-I-G-I-I, bacteria, were sprayed over the San Francisco Bay area in California. I said little beach town. It was San Francisco Bay. A little bigger than a little beach town. In order to determine how vulnerable a city like San Francisco may be to a bioweapon attack, killing at least one American.
That is monstrous to do that without somebody's consent.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Sent.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the first time. Won't be the last. Isn't that gross?
Doesn't that make you mad? It does. I didn't know that that happened. I mean, I thought that we were better than that.
No. And that's to our own people.
You're right. So what do we do to other people?
Yeah. So I'm going to look here. Similar biological warfare tests. So in the Senate subcommittee hearings in 1977, the Army revealed that between 1949 and 1969, 20 years, open-air tests of biological agents were conducted 239 times. In 80 of those experiments, the Army said it used live bacteria that its researchers at the time thought were harmless. Yeah, sure you did. You wondered. In the others, it used inert chemicals to simulate bacteria. And then...
What is that?
Why?
Is that just
an excuse? If you don't think it's harmless, what are you doing?
Right.
Also in the 1950s, Army researchers dispersed zinc cadmium sulfide, a known cancer-causing agent, over Minnesota and other Midwestern states to see how far they would spread in the atmosphere.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Minnesota.
And the particles were detected more than 1,000 miles away in New York State.
I guess they learned they travel pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
Hope they can sleep at night.
They've done this. It just goes on and on and on.
Is this what are you looking this up on?
This is on Wikipedia. Gee, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Yep, under Operation Sea Spray. And then yep, United States Biological Weapons Program. It's a thing. So there's that connection. So that's theory number one, is biological warfare. Number two, gelatinous rain from a plane accident.
Okay, there's planes are built out of solid things.
The explanation of details is weird. Another popular theory posits that the blobs were the remains of jellyfish or other sea life. The hypothesis suggests that a military aircraft might have accidentally...
Whoops!
Accidentally released material it had collected from the ocean. Like, A, what are we doing just scooping up millions of jellyfish and octopus? And B, how do we just go, whoops! And before A and B, between A and B, there's like A point whatever, which is where we ground them up into rice-sized right. pieces. And then, whoops, let them all go.
Maybe they disintegrate as they're falling through the sky. Maybe they were whole jellyfish when they escaped from the plane. And then as they're falling through the atmosphere, the wind, like, pressure breaks them. I don't know what happens when you drop a jellyfish from the
top of the sky. The only way to know is to get a jellyfish and get in a plane, a small plane, a Cessna of some kind.
Uh-huh.
One of us is on the ground with, like, a big, big red X.
Uh-huh.
The other one of us is in the airplane.
Throwing jellyfish out.
Throwing jellyfish, trying to land on the target. And the other one is just, like, trying, like, just collecting it in a bucket, running around.
Who are those two guys that do all those, like, experiments to... Oh, they're super famous. They have their own TV show.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They're not on anymore. What is that show where they test if something actually has?
Yeah, any they merit? Test like.
What was that called? It was there. It is Mythbusters.
Mythbusters.
Yeah.
This is like Mythbusters. We could be the new Mythbusters.
The new Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman.
Yeah. Two like chubby.
Sorry, Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman. Like that. We're just talking about ourselves. I promise. Yeah. I mean. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So
I don't think it's jellyfish.
I don't either.
Or ocean creatures.
I don't either. So
ground up and dropped from a plane.
Yeah. They say that the hypothesis suggests that a military aircraft might have collected, have accidentally released material it had collected from the ocean. The blobs were then carried. It just makes me laugh. The blobs were then carried inland because Oakville's not on the beach. Carried inland by strong winds before falling over Oakville. Critics of this theory point out the lack of similar reports from nearby areas and the unlikelihood of jellyfish maintaining their form through such a process. Well, they didn't maintain their form
I am also a critic of
unless
this.
Unless they're the tiniest jellyfish that ever lived.
Also, jellyfish, do they make you sick when you ingest them? There might be some.
I would assume so. We don't eat jellyfish.
Some people eat jellyfish. I don't.
Who eats jellyfish?
I'm pretty sure they eat jellyfish in all kinds of places. Look it up.
Now I'm Googling that. Do people...
Listen, when you're hungry, you'll eat whatever you can get out of the ocean. But there's nothing...
It would just be... Ugh, like, what is even in it? Do people eat jellyfish?
Yeah, what kind of nutrients would you get
from it? Oh, you're right. Some people eat jellyfish, especially in East and Southeast Asia. It's often considered a delicacy. How it's prepared... Oh, it's often dried and processed. Then it can be served in salads, sushi, noodles, and main courses. It can also be served with a spicy dressing. Some say it has a wetly, this doesn't make any sense, a wetly crunchy texture. How can it be wetly
and crunchy? I can't picture that. I'm picturing like fried onions.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have fried onions for Thanksgiving on your green beans.
I had them last night on a shrimp rice bowl.
Yeah, they can be wetly crunchy.
Sure. Yeah, there's just a lot of other things to eat. I don't think I need to go for jellyfish.
But I'm assuming some jellyfish could be
protein.
They are.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
No wonder people eat them. Like, I mean, there had to be a reason for me. Like, it had to provide some sort of sustenance.
Right. Now you're sold. Now you're like.
Well, no, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm sold. Like
eggs or jellyfish this morning.
It's my tattoo. Make it make sense. I needed it to make sense. And now I get it. I don't want to do it, but I understand it.
And I think some jellyfish are probably poisonous to consume. So it could have been little bits of poisonous jellyfish falling.
Okay. So that's theory number two. Now we get to microbial growth is another one. So initial lab tests conducted by private entities. Get this. This is where I had told you last week I was mistaken. I was wrong. I said it was like the same thing, like meat or what did I say? Human something.
What
I said
did
it
you
was.
Say?
I don't remember.
Are you talking about last week's?
Yeah, when you were talking, I was like, oh, the same thing happened.
You thought it was similar. Yeah, you think it was a similar story.
It was similar in that it was reportedly identified it had white blood cells in it.
Whoa.
And bacteria in the blobs.
Okay. Well, like that could be an animal again, mm-hmm. a jellyfishy animal.
This led to speculation that the substance was bioengineered. So the presence of white blood cells, particularly ones resembling those in humans, added a strange twist to the mystery. However, when the government testing got involved, it was inconclusive. And it remains unclear whether the cells were definitely human or if their appearance was coincidental.
That's the government testing?
Yeah.
So the government who possibly dumped this on people is now testing it and saying, we're not sure what it is.
Inconclusive is my favorite scientific result. Like, then do another test.
Right.
Make
Keep
it
going.
Conclusive.
Keep going.
Yeah, don't just go, well, I don't know. So the ambiguity around this finding has fueled rumors of bioengineering or connections to medical research, though no official source has confirmed these claims. And then on Unsolved Mysteries, microbiologist Mike McDowell recalled finding two species of bacteria in the Oakville blobs. One of these was known to infect the human digestive system. So that might explain some nausea. They found Mike Osweiler of the Washington State Department of Ecology said they found a number of various or cells of various sizes and two types of bacteria again, but were unable to identify them.
So unknown bacteria.
Yeah.
That's freaky.
I don't like that. And the cells did not have nuclei.
What does that mean?
So it refutes the claim that the blobs could have had human blood cells because all human white blood cells have nuclei.
Okay.
Yeah. So that it kind of cancels that theory out. Number four, paranormal explanation. For those inclined, I'm raising my hand, towards supernatural explanations, the Oakville blobs are seen as evidence of extraterrestrial activity.
Evidence!
I hope so. Some theorists argue that the blobs were biological material dropped from alien spacecraft, though this remains firmly in the realm of speculation.
Okay, so it reminds me of Nope, that Jordan Peele movie. We talked about this last
yes.
So don't listen for a second if you don't want a spoiler
alert.
Nope.
Spoiler alert.
But in Nope, you know, the alien spaceship thing eats people, chews them up, and then it like spits out the waste that they're not it's not using, right?
Just like
going
like
to the bathroom,
the
kind
meat
of
shower episode.
Just like in that meat shower and episode. This one. And so where was I going with this? I had a point I was gonna
stuff.
Make. Okay. So, but we don't get stuff like this dumped on us all the time. So
well, that was a very weird targeted attack on one home, which was super weird.
Yeah, it was. But, I'm thinking that it's a mistake. Like if it's aliens, I think they accidentally pushed a lever.
Vern, we told you, you are not licensed to pull that lever.
What's this do?
Or like somebody couldn't get a babysitter. And so they had to bring her. I'm sorry. Just the sitter called and canceled. I had to bring her just this one time. She'll be fine. She won't get under our feet at all.
So they push the button. They release the trash chute.
Whoopsie, mommy. I'm so sorry.
The trash chute falls down on people
yep.
below.
Gun it. Get out of here. Oh, gosh. This is funny. Though this remains firmly in the realm of speculation. I don't say. Natural phenomena is theory number five. Some scientists have hypothesized that the blobs could have formed naturally. Organic material from the ocean might have been lifted into the atmosphere by strong updrafts.
Or the, what do they call that? A waterspout tornado.
Water
yeah.
Combined with other elements and deposited as the mysterious blobs. While this theory is plausible, it lacks conclusive evidence. And again, Oakville's not like super far from the ocean, but it's not exactly close either. It's probably 100 miles to the ocean.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories. The Oakville blobs have inspired several conspiracy theories fueled by the lack of definitive answers and the disappearance of samples. So samples have gone missing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And some of these conspiracy theories include a military experiment gone wrong, weather control technology, because, you know, some of us have control over the weather. Proponents of that theory point to historical programs like Project Storm Fury as evidence that such tests are within the realm of possibility.
What's Project Storm Fury?
I will tell you.
Yeah. I'm learning a lot on this, in this journey.
This is an educational podcast every once in a while. It was in 1962, and it was a U.S. government experiment that ran until 1983 to modify hurricanes. So, did you ever see Twister or the new one, Twisters?
Not the new one, but
both
very good.
Yeah. Both very good. The one in the guy in the new one knows how to wear a cowboy hat.
Nice.
Just going to say that.
Who's in the original? Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt?
Yes. Great. One of my favorites. I saw it in the theater. It was amazing. So what the idea was to drop silver iodide into the eye wall of a hurricane from an aircraft. So rather than Twister, which is on a truck from underneath to suck them up, this was from above. And then the silver iodide would cause supercooled water to freeze, which would disrupt the hurricane structure.
That's so cool.
From the inside
out. What a cool experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the goal was to trigger the formation of a new larger eye wall, which would reduce the storm's winds to so that it wouldn't be as destructive.
Okay.
But it had some early success, such as when Hurricane Beulah's winds dropped by 20%. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
And then I think cloud seeding can be done in other ways, too. But
You have a lot of theories. I don't know that I like any of them.
Yeah, I don't either. But I mean, I'm always going to default to, guess it was aliens. But this one, not as much as the meat shower one. The meat shower one just seems really clear to me. This one I think is probably more like biological warfare testing.
Yeah, I mean,
all of our military bases.
Yeah.
It's just a little town, only 700 people.
So we won't have to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And we can sleep at night.
Yep.
I think that is up there as a strong possibility. I also think it's possible that it is something natural and it's just, I don't know what. I mean, but I think that anything could end up in our atmosphere. And I mean, so there's other things, phenomena that I've heard of.
We're constantly bioengineering different things.
Yeah.
So who knows?
There's phenomena that's rare, that there's like blood rain, for example, where the rain is red.
Mm-hmm.
Happens sometimes. Maybe it really did just pick up something and catch it in the wind and disperse it.
But don't you think, like, if by now science should be able to explain that? That just seems like, but I guess they can't explain the meat shower, so.
Well, why can't you, I don't understand, in 1994, why can't you test a substance and know what it is?
And then you couldn't, what happened to the samples?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you we hang on to stuff a lot, and they had the foresight to hang on to a lot of, like I think of in true crime, they hung on to a lot of evidence from like rape crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had an inkling like, at some point we're going to be able to identify who this was. And they were right. Now we can DNA test things. So they've gone back and closed cases that were open until they had the technology to find out who did it.
Well, maybe it's not a problem with science and technology. Maybe it's a problem with whoever they gave the samples to. Maybe they gave the samples to people who were not...
Stop giving them to the government.
Yeah, well, like, they didn't have integrity or they didn't have follow-through. I don't know. Like, they weren't testing them thoroughly and they weren't saving them.
They didn't take it seriously.
They didn't take it seriously, yeah.
So, some people think it could have been a cover-up for a biohazard leak. So, the discovery of bacteria and white blood cells in the samples lends credence to this theory,
mm-hmm.
Though its connection to any specific organization or event remains speculative. This one says dozens of people got sick and several.
That's a lot.
Yeah. The substance rained down 6 times over a 3-week period, is one article.
Oh, well,
that's a lot
different.
More.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I didn't
thing,
see
then.
That before.
Because that means something's spraying this town specifically. Repeatedly. This is a whole
person,
different experiment.
Okay, so now I'm on Reddit. Or what do you say? Read it?
I say Reddit, but...
I do too. Reddit. Reddit's what I've heard everybody say.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm a biologist. Maybe I can help. The particular microbes found in the blobs were specific ones used as agriculture pest control.
Oh.
Also, there was a government agricultural research agency right next to the town. I think they did some experimental crop dusting and did the wrong coordinates. And because it's the government, they decided to lie low and not claim responsibility. I like this theory the best.
I like that theory the best.
Yeah.
That's smart. That makes perfect sense because you do go up in a plane. Dottie said she saw planes.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Dottie or Sunny? Such cute names. And then the planes go up and they spray the pesticide or whatever. Other pesticides and fertilizers do make people sick sometimes.
Sure, absolutely.
I can see them being off course and then not wanting to own up to it, because no one ever wants to take accountability for their mistakes.
Not it. There's a lot of that.
Not it. It wasn't me.
Which is just so bonkers to me. I just don't understand that. Like, as a teacher and as a mom, one of the biggest things I teach is take accountability for your actions. Accidents happen. You still have to try to solve the problem. And solving the problem might be apologizing and helping the person you knocked over accidentally at recess.
Right.
Or it might be, you know, it doesn't, you don't have to go, what was an accident? Well, sure, but do the right thing to solve the problem. You created a problem accidentally.
Right.
Fix it.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot of, that's not my job.
I have, it was an accident. I've had students who just, like, I'll see them do something. It doesn't even have to be something naughty, but sometimes it's naughty. Sometimes it's just something I'll see with my own eyes, and they'll say, that wasn't me. I didn't do it.
And you're I'll getting like, in their face.
I saw you with my own eyes.
And you go, don't you gaslight me, kid.
I don't say that.
Efforts to investigate further were stymied by a lack of resources and interest from larger scientific communities. So there's been
this is awful for this town. Horrible.
A little cultural impact. The Oakville blobs have become a staple of paranormal lore and unsolved mysteries. The event has been featured in numerous television shows, podcasts, and articles. It remains a favorite topic for conspiracy theorists and paranormal enthusiasts. For the residents of Oakville, however, it is more than just a strange story. It's a reminder of how little we sometimes understand about the world around us. The Oakville blobs remain an enigma, defying easy explanation. Were they the result of a secret military experiment, freak weather phenomenon, or something more otherworldly?
Oh my goodness.
It's been 30 years, so the questions still kind of outnumber the answers.
Right.
So I would not enjoy that one bit. I would freak out if I'm just driving down the road and all of a sudden there's a gelatinous material that I can't get off my windshield. I'm immediately thinking, we're going to die.
This you would. You'd instantly be like, I can't breathe it. Stay in my car.
Yeah, I'd be calling everybody I know. Stay inside. Do not go outside. So, heads up, literally and figuratively, if something like that happens, it could make you sick. So maybe don't touch it. Taste it.
Don't sit out there with your mouth open. Don't make snow angels in it.
Don't breathe it in. Don't let your kids go out and stir it around. Don't let your dog go out and sniff it. Just leave it alone.
Instead of don't open the door, leave it alone.
Yeah, that's all I had. Pretty simple little story, but I wanted to connect to that while I was thinking of it.
That's cool. Thank you for sharing it. I'd love to get
my pleasure.
Yeah, that's really fun how it ties to last week. Your homework this week, scholars, is
I don't know. Oh, I have one. I'm going to Iceland, England, Scotland, and Ireland this summer, and I would love, and also DC. Washington, D.C. And if you have been or you have family or friends and in any of those places that has a really cool paranormal, supernatural, or mysterious story, we'd love to know. You can email it to us at theparanormalclassroom@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Blue Sky. Just The Paranormal Classroom.
It's good homework.
Okay.
It's not graded.
No, nope. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope.
Alrighty.
All right, everybody. Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.